brand new album from Tedeschi Trucks Band, Let Me Get By, comes out this Friday, January 29th. Joining me right now is bassist Tim LaFave. Hey, thanks so much for joining me, Tim.
What's happening, Ryan? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. First, in addition to your current full-time gig as the bassist for Tedeschi Trucks Band, you've played bass with countless artists such as Sting, Donald Fagen, Elvis Costello, and even David Bowie for his final album, Black Star. But you majored in political science and economics. When did you realize you wanted to be a career musician, and how did you make that happen?
Well, it's kind of as soon as I graduated college, I started taking some interviews with some real like companies, like, I think like Nationwide Insurance or something, and then I just had this vision of being like hanging from the ceiling, dead from suicide. So I just kind of realized at that point, like I wasn't made for corporate America. So I just, you know, my dad was a music teacher, so I was always playing music, and you know, up until that point, I'd always been playing music.
Right.
But I didn't know how to approach it. So like a couple friends of mine referred me to this cruise ship company, so I started doing cruise ships, and that was kind of the beginning of it.
Oh, really?
As a professional, yeah.
So it wasn't like right after college, like, all right, I'm going to start playing music.
No, yeah, I've been playing since like fourth grade. I started on saxophone, and my dad kind of handed me, like, yeah, he heard me playing guitar one day, but he heard me playing single line, so he just kind of, you know, extrapolated that I was a bass player. Pretty spot on, I have to say.
Nice, yeah.
So he was a middle school music teacher, so he knew what he was talking about.
Cool. So you had the cool opportunity to sub in Saturday Night Live's house band. How long did you do that for?
I did like four episodes a year from like 2001 to 2008.
Really? That long? Wow.
Yeah. I mean, James Davis was out with Herbie and various other artists. So like, you know, he was kind of gone quite a bit. And once they kind of thought I was solid, so that, you know, they were comfortable subbing it out. So it ended up being kind of a lot of episodes. It's fun.
Right. Yeah. What was that experience like?
That was cool. It was, you know, also similar to the Tedeschi Trucks Band. It was a big band, you know, like tons of horns and, you know, big, big, loud extravaganza. So it was kind of, you know, when I drove Tedeschi Trucks, it wasn't like I hadn't worked in a band that big before. So it was kind of fun.
Right. Yeah. I was gonna ask you that. Like, were you able to bring any lessons from, you know, a high profile gig like that to your club and theater shows?
I mean, there's no secret to it. I just kind of go out and do my thing. Sometimes I look like a doofus while I do it because all the weird faces. I mean, I don't concentrate on the showbiz aspect. It never happened. But, you know, I think they wanted me to smile and laugh behind the host or something, you know, like when, because the TV camera would basically be on you when the host was doing the monologue.
So you were on camera then?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, I mean, it was just that. But most of the time the host was saying funny stuff, so it wasn't fake. But,
yeah.
You know, it's just one of those things where just, you know, the less seen, the better, I think, on things like SNL, because then they can start, you know, I wasn't doing it often enough to bring attention to myself. I mean, I knew most of the cast members and stuff. You know,
right.
If I see them in LA, for instance, I say hi and they say, hey, man, you know, it's cool in that front. But it's like, you know, it's just one of those things where you just kind of, I guess my reading chops is one thing I got up from that show, you know.
Reading chops, yeah. How often does reading come into play?
It's not much these days, somewhat, you know, like I mean, I call for like some film scoring sessions in LA or something like that. I mean, it's kind of like, you know, there's people in LA who have that totally covered. Like my friend Mike Valerio, mm-hmm. He could read Chinese arithmetic. He's unbelievable.
Wow.
You know, he works for John Williams and all these guys. Like, you know, so I think if you're doing film scoring more than anything, that's what you have to be able to read about. But like most of the sessions I've been doing, like, you know, you just kind of learn the tune, kind of jot down the ideas you need, but you don't really have to read an exact chart, you know?
Right.
Like most of what I'm charting now is just sort of like the chord progression and how many times it happens. And, you know, it's simple stuff.
Right, and then you can just add your own thing on top.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. I mean, if people want something specific, then they should make charts, is my opinion, you know what I mean?
Right. Well,
yeah.
I was going to get to this a little later, but I might as well do it now. For the new album, Tedeschi Trucks album, Let Me Get By, you know, did you work with Derek and Susan to write your bass parts, or did you come up with those on your own? How did that come about?
Yeah, they all just kind of happened. You know, because we play so much together, we just kind of, you know, some of these tunes came out of jams, like jams that we did at soundcheck and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But like for instance, Don't Know What It Means. That was just kind of like we had kind of the initial version of that we had been messing with came from a melody from JJ, who played it through us on the piano.
Mm-hmm.
And it was funny because Derek had heard it in a different spot than where I was hearing it. So it kind of became this other interesting thing. And then we kind of, me and Kofi and Derek and JJ were kind of like kind of making it a D'Angelo kind of vibe. And I don't think Derek was into it. So he came back, you know, we came back a couple months later and he reworked it. But in the end, you could hear the end part where it kind of goes to a minor thing. That's kind of what it originally sounded like.
Okay.
But but you know, when Derek came back and changed it, it kind of forced me to come up with another line, and I was kind of into a Willie Weeks phase at that point. So that's where I kind of came up with that line.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, but it's all open to interpretation in this band. So it's kind of like, you know, because loosely, not loosely, but like their favorite bass players are like the guy from like, you know, Jameson, Louis Satterfeld, Willie Weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, just all these guys from that era, you know, the really good studio players. So, and Jerry Jermont and all these guys. So, you know, I try to come from that area.
Right.
But generally speaking, it's a loose, it's totally loose. I mean, they don't have to do any kind of, you know, well, please play this like a Jerry Jermont line. But just kind of, I'm allowed to do kind of basically whatever I want, but I try to make it, you know, accurate to whatever the feeling of the song is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny you mentioned Don't Know What It Means, because that's the exact song I was going to talk about, because that bass line, man, it grabs you right away.
Thanks. Yeah, I mean, occasionally a bass line could be a strong hook of something, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't expect it to have that kind of, so yeah, people are totally responding to that track. but yeah, I mean, it's kind of the centerpiece of it, you know?
With such a big band, the bass is still very prominent on this album. I mean, was that kind of the goal? Not the goal, but was that a conscious effort? Or did that kind of just come about when you guys were jamming, like, all right, the bass line is driving this thing right now?
Yeah, some of it was. I mean, for instance, Laugh About It's a bass line we came up with in a soundcheck jam. And actually kind of Let Me Get By, too. Let Me Get By, that jam was also just bass line specific, and Kofi had come up with that organ line on top of it, well, just while we were dicking around the soundcheck.
Yeah.
And yeah, Laugh About It was totally built around that bass line, because JJ had been playing something at 7, but I mean, over, like, philosophically, though, I don't think they've changed anything. It's just that's what the band sounds like right now. Like, this is what I sound like, I suppose. And so, like, it sort of drives the band in a different way.
Right.
The record is basically, I mean, I think we're kind of, like, launched a little bit past where it is, but that's basically how the band sounds right now. So it's cool. It's an accurate, semi-accurate, you know, we're a year past it, but it's pretty accurate gauge of where we're at, you know, which is exciting.
And yeah. You mentioned like a D'Angelo vibe earlier. Because the band's so big, do you guys ever clash on how you want a song to sound or a style? Like, you want it more jazzy or more R&B tinged, or versus them wanting to do more blues?
No, it's kind of, Derek's very, very good. This is one of the things I really think he's amazing at. It's like, you know, because it's such a big band, and if we feel like we're getting a little stale, he throws in new songs that, or, you know, actually on this tour, he took a bunch of our suggestions for covers. So he knows when to turn the dial a little bit, make things, different things happen with the band. So there's never any conflict. I mean, there's sometimes conflicts over, like, how many times we're going to play the ending, or, you know, like, just this simple stuff, like how arrangement-wise, that's where any conflicts happen. But that's always worked out, and we always kind of figure out that end of it. So it's never like a big deal.
Right.
You know, like, just the other thing, like this tour, I came in with I Cannot Make It by Sly and the Family Stone. It's like, why don't we try playing this? It's kind of a tricky little tune, and it took us a second to grab it, but now we're playing that. And Falcon and Mike Madison wanted to play It Ain't Easy by Bowie, so we've been doing that. We started playing Justice Strange off the record, and you know, we would kind of droning around in D and drop D, which is a kind of a fun thing to do on guitar and bass.
Yeah.
And I kind of started noodling around with Within You, Without You from Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. So that's become the intro to Justice Strange. It's kind of fun. Like, there's just so many eclectic directions we can go.
There's so many directions. Yeah, that's awesome. That's cool to hear. Yeah. You guys are doing so many covers. You guys are obviously known for your amazing live shows. Well-written songs are obviously a big part of that, but so is improvising. Mm-hmm. How does improvising with such a large band work for you guys?
I mean, you know, it comes down to, it depends on who's soloing and depends on what song it is, but, you know, there's obviously, like if this is a solo, if it's going to be kind of a longer solo or something within a song, you know, usually it's going to go to Derek.
Mm-hmm.
And usually we can, you know, it depends on what the headspace is that night, but, you know, sometimes you can get completely atonal and out on guard, really weird and sound effecty, and there's other nights it's just straight up like those just bash people over the head in E, you know,
yeah,
in the key of E. So it's kind of, you know, it's very interesting, like, you know, night to night. That's, and also everybody's completely capable of handling it. So it's like, you guys are very deep, well-rounded musicians. And in fact, like, you know, when we were in, did that Europe tour in November, Falcon, JJ, me, and Kevin Williams, I had booked a separate gig at this club in Berlin. It was just completely, we just went over and just completely improvised it. And it turned out to be like, and these guys, I had never done that with these guys completely. We just kind of went, you know, we just, you know, they said go and we went go. And it's like all this free, incredible stuff, actually.
That's
so
awesome.
I put that record out. I just, you know, just the point is that I'm, you know, just trying to highlight how good everybody is as a musician that can go anywhere in this band and actually have it be authentic.
Right. And so, I guess you guys have played so much together at this point, too. It's like you can kind of feel when someone's going in a certain direction, I guess.
Yeah. You know, there's sometimes it's just some real magic that happens, you know. Like when we played Chicago Theater on Friday, on Saturday night, and just we got pretty uncorked. It was pretty awesome. And it was in front of all these. Like, plus, you know, when the audience is giving back some energy, which these guys, Chicago is outrageous.
Yeah.
So, you know, that just fires us up more to go places that are interesting. So.
Right. As a bassist in a band that big that improvises, do you still have to hold down the groove and all that stuff while you're improvising, or can you go way out there?
It works both ways. I can sort of, you just have to sort of play it, you know, kind of figure out what's going on, and then you can sort of take it there.
Right.
I think, you know, I like to play completely out, but I generally like to find something that's not the original groove. If I'm going to play a groove, you know, like make it sonically interesting and kind of twisty. You know, that's kind of where I've always sort of leaned towards, you know, and also that I do some stuff with sounds and stuff like that. But, I mean, I don't know. It's always, I mean, I guess that's my role. I'm supposed to sort of lay it down somehow.
Right.
And I generally at least start out that way. But then, you know, sometimes if it gets really nuts, I just go. I mean, there's other times I just kind of like stop. Like we played Don't Miss Me, that Derek Trucks tune, Derek Trucks band, you know, song.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of like, as soon as Kevin Williams' solo started, I just kind of, I don't know what happened, but I sort of just let things start dissolving. I just went to detuning my G string and like putting delay on it. So I just made this weird thing and, you know, everybody's like, whoa.
The hell's he doing?
Cool, it sent it off in a good direction, you know. It's amazing to have that freedom, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. I know it's a hard thing to talk about because, you know, each night's different. Each night you just got to go by feel, I guess. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like, you got to know the songs and like play the song right. But yeah, and the rest of it's an open book. So you kind of hope that it's inspired and, you know, whatever you're pulling out is cool at the time, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. So I have to ask about working with David Bowie on his last album, Black Star.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there was a short article in Rolling Stone last month, which described him showing up to a jazz bar in New York and sitting near the stage to check out a quartet with saxophonist Donnie McCaslin, and then leaving without saying anything. It doesn't mention you by name, but you were the bassist in the quartet that night, right?
Yep.
Did you see him in the crowd?
No, I didn't. Somebody said afterwards that he had been there.
Yeah.
You know, at that point, there had been already talk about that he was checking us out for his next record. So it wasn't like it was kind of from nowhere. And it was funny because I was having a terrible night. Like my pedals were getting unplugged. And, it was ridiculous.
Well, it's for the best you didn't see him in the crowd then.
Yeah, I guess not. I never worry, but I stop worrying about that stuff most of the time.
You've been doing it long enough, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, it's like, as long as you're not being terrible, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is what it is at this point. I can't get much better or worse, you know, so.
Yeah, well, speaking of which, do you practice still a lot?
I mean, a little bit. I practice, like, I try to play, like, the atonally as much as I can, like, just kind of do weird runs on the bass.
Mm-hmm.
I think at some point, I've been doing it for a while now. I think it's been an encore some new stuff. But other than that, I mean, I just try to play, you know, I practice upright more than I practice electric, you know.
I got you, yeah.
But because I'm playing electric so much, it's just like kind of learning the tune. And I mean, that's why I also take outside gigs outside of this band, because it helps me grow, you know what I mean? It's just exposure to other stuff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, like Donnie McCaslin's band, like those guys are monsters. So, like, for me, I have to really be on my A game rhythmically and, you know, with my time and what I try to put out there, you know, because those guys are incredible. So
that's cool. Putting yourself out into other genres and styles really helps you in other aspects of music as well.
Yeah, I find when I play outside of Philadelphia Trucks, I bring more stuff into the band.
Right.
For, like, as inspiration, you know?
Yeah. So going back to Bowie, what was your initial reaction when you found out you guys are going to be his studio band?
I was kind of like, well, I'll believe it when I see it. You know?
Yeah.
You know, it's one of those things where it's just like, yeah, it's not going to happen. You know, like there's been talk of stuff on that level before, and it's never happened. So like, you believe it when you see it. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
But it really did happen. So you know, it was incredible experience.
Is it nerve wracking working with an artist of that caliber, or do you once you get the gig, do you approach it like anything else?
It was 50-50 because it was a different crowd. You know, like it was a rock and roll record, so like I didn't, you know. I was pretty sure I would do the right thing. You know, the other guys were so jazzed. I was like, well, I hope they like, you know, it's a collective thing, which obviously came out great. I mean,
right.
Because everybody sort of approached it. Everybody was respectful of the songs, I think. So, but yeah, I mean, it's sort of, yeah. And also the other thing was like, it was so high security and like such a closed little session. There was only, you know, six or seven of us there. You know, it became just like, you know, you're working with this small group every day. It wasn't, you know, the magnanimity of it all didn't hit you. It's like, oh, it's just the course of songs. Although, you know, David would come in and sing with us, and that was incredible. Like every time we do a song, he'd come in and sing a couple of takes with us live.
No way.
So, yeah, it's incredible.
That's really cool.
That's something you can never replace, you know.
Do you have a favorite memory of working with David Bowie? Just the whole thing.
Yeah, I have two of them, actually. And just like the laughs that were going on in the studio were great. And you guys are a really, really funny guy. So like we did a lot of laughing. Because Mark Giuliano and I tended to be done pretty early, so they'd be doing overdubs. So we would make coffee and dick around and have a laugh a lot. And yeah, so there was that. That was incredible. Like getting to know him on that tip was pretty awesome. And then the other memory was like recording Black Star, the song. You know, because it was kind of a suite. It was like done in two parts.
Mm-hmm.
And just like hearing, I knew when we were going down. Like they kind of like they were pretty loose on that one with me. It was just like, I just kind of, like Mark played really, really sparingly. It's like super spare, like a drum part. It's basically like one and three on the kick and two and four in the sand. There's nothing else. No adornments, no hi-hat, no anything. So like, I kind of took a lot of liberties, like rhythmically. I kind of, the middle section, I ended up kind of doing some like Serge Gainsbourg-y, Justin Eldo Johnson picking stuff. So like, and that wasn't anything they told me to do or not to do. I just like, okay, here we go. and then the tag out part was completely like, you know, I just kind of Sly and the Family Stone, Pino Palladino style hump.
Yeah.
So, and I remember just being like, man. And the thing was, is like, they didn't weren't saying, oh, go, well, you know, we'll try something else there. They were like, you know, they didn't say anything, which is also good. So, you know, when I heard the recording back, I was like, yes, that was the one point in the record that I really kind of like just felt like I just did my thing completely. You know what I mean? Just like they didn't, I mean, it was also, obviously there's other moments like Lazarus and blah, 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 but that song, you know, cause there was no kind of written idea where to go. So I kind of just I started humping it, and it was like, I don't know, man, like, you know, have humping it like that on the David Bowie record is just super, super fun to me. You know, I don't know. I'm really proud of that track. I'm a black star, way off my money.
Did he have everything composed for you, or it sounds like he gave you the freedom to do your own thing?
Well, I mean, that's partially true. There was a couple of tracks, yes, sort of like that. Black Star and Sue were sort of the loosest arrangements. The rest of it, the rest of it was pretty close to what he had demoed.
Okay.
He had done these extensive demos, and we just kind of went in and copped. Like Lazarus, intro and outro we kind of came up with, but that's exactly what he had programmed. You know, even the drum part and bass part. Everything was like from there on out, like Girl Loves Me is all basically right off the demo. We just kind of copped it with live instruments. Dollar Days he taught us in the studio, so there was no demo for that. So we kind of just learned it and just kind of put our pop hats on or, you know, whatever that was.
Yeah,
which that came out epic. That's unbelievable. I actually had a hard time listening to that song until a couple of days ago after he died.
Oh wow! Yeah,
that's, you know, basically it's like it's just one of those things. You know, that's one of his confessionals, I think. So it's been tough. I mean, I barely listened to the record since he died, honestly, because it's been hard. But yeah,
I appreciate you sharing all the your memories with
me. No,
him.
It's my pleasure, man. Honestly.
Well, Mr. Tim LaFave, Tedeschi Trucks Band. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Ryan Gottlieb.
All right.
All right, brother. I'll talk to you. I'll show you that.